You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
So here we are, back with another physics podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. We hope you've been having a good summer, free from any horrible accidents like, you know, slipping into a black hole.
Is slipping into a black hole something that's likely to happen, Brendan?
I have nightmares about it constantly.
Okay, but also, if someone had been swallowed by a black hole, how would they be able to listen to the podcast?
Aha! You may think that it's impossible to escape from the grip of one of these cosmic monsters if you're unlucky enough to fall in. But actually, in August, Stephen Hawking announced that he has found a way out.
Okay, we should say here, before you get too excited, that we don't really know what exactly Hawking's new theory is. He trailed it at a black hole meeting in Stockholm, and his talk made headlines around the world. So we thought we'd better mention it here in this news roundup.
FQXI member Sabina Hossenfelder was at that meeting, and she wrote about the talk on her blog Back Reaction, which we're linking to on the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast. Go there for more technical details. From her post and a few other sources, this is what we've gathered. This is Hawking's attempt to solve a paradox that he himself discovered in the 70s. He had calculated that over time, black holes gradually emit radiation. He had calculated that over time, black holes gradually emit radiation until eventually they evaporate. But if that's so, then what happens to the information about the things that have been swallowed by the black hole? Quantum theory tells us that information cannot be lost from the universe. So where does it go? Here's what Hawking said at the meeting.
40 years ago, I wrote a paper, Breakdown of Predictability in Gravitational Collapse, in which I claimed there would be loss of predictability of the final state if the black hole evaporated completely. The paper was very controversial. It was rejected by the Physical Review, and accepted only after much argument, and a delay of a year. This is the information paradox. How does the information of the quantum state of the infalling particles re-emerge in the outgoing radiation? This has been an outstanding problem in theoretical physics for the last 40 years. Despite a large number of papers, no satisfactory resolution has been advanced. I propose that the information is stored, not in the interior of the black hole as one might expect, but on its boundary, the event horizon, in the form of supertranslations of the horizon.
We're also putting a link to the video of the talk from which I pulled that sound clip on the podcast page. Hawking's solution, as you heard, involves the idea that a kind of hologram of what falls inside the 3D black hole exists on the event horizon in 2D. This is an idea that comes from string theory.
Hawking's new idea, developed with Malcolm Perry of Cambridge University and FQXI's Andrew Strominger at Harvard, is that Hawking radiation emitted from the black hole can carry that 2D information away from the event horizon. But it ends up in what he calls a chaotic and useless form, which is how I feel about myself some days. He also mentioned something at a public talk about how if the black hole is rotating, information could escape into a parallel universe.
That's all we know about that, to be honest. But we're linking to a nice accessible roundup of the story by Jacob Aaron at New Scientist on the podcast page, along with a profile of Strominger by reporter Sophie Hebden, called The Cosmic Hologram, that explains more about this idea from string theory that there are 2D copies of the 3D world at the edge of the universe.
Hawking has also promised that he'll release a paper soon that explains his ideas in more detail, so we'll keep you posted.
Meanwhile, there was another major announcement made at the end of August. The spooky nature of quantum mechanics was confirmed in the strictest experiment yet, carried out in the Netherlands. Here, we're talking about entanglement, the quantum phenomenon that allows distant particles to become twinned in such a way that carrying out a measurement on one immediately influences its partner.
This is what Einstein called spooky action at a distance, and he hated it. Many experiments seem to have confirmed that this effect is real over the years, but they always had slight loopholes that meant you couldn't quite rule out the less spooky interpretation of the results favored by Einstein. The new test at Delft, which is known as a Bell test, after the physicist John Bell who came up with the idea, has closed the two major loopholes plaguing previous experiments for the first time. So how big a deal is this?
Well, the authors of the paper can't speak directly to the media about it because their paper is under review. But I asked FQXI member Matt Liefer to explain its significance.
There hasn't been a Nobel Prize for Bell's theorem yet. I think closing these loopholes makes it more likely that there will be. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few years we see one of the authors of this paper, along with some of the older experiments like Espe and people like that, on a Nobel Prize. I think it's that exciting. I mean, one thing I would say, though, is that if we go past just the foundational implications and talk about practical things, then doing a loophole-free Bell experiment is an important milestone along the way to getting practical what's called device-independent quantum cryptography. I say it's a milestone because if you look at this experiment, it has, if you wanted to use it for that kind of purpose, it would have truly atrocious bandwidth because they managed to get 245 good runs of the experiments in over a time period of 9 days. Whereas if you want to use this practically, you know, you want to be generating sort of thousands of secret key bits per minute or so. So there's a long way to go as far as that's concerned, but it's an important milestone because it allows us to start thinking about doing cryptography, which really relies on very, very few assumptions about the physics. And we've had, you know, quantum key distributions hacked in ways like that in recent years. You know, there have been stories about that. Whereas if you move to this device independent scheme, then it really absolutely does not matter whatsoever what's going on with, you know, the system becomes much more like a black box. Then if you observe a violation of Bell inequality, then you know that you have security. You know that you can generate secure key from that, for example.
That was Matt Liefer, who definitely thinks the experiment is important. I've explained more about the test in a blog post, linked to on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, including why this test is important for shoring up security in quantum cryptography. I'm also linking to an article that I wrote about this for Nature, which quotes Liefer and FQXI's Anton Zeilinger and Nicolas Gisin.